When you do become a brand ambassador, it's work. It's actual work. Like, I get paid by these really big companies, but I still have to f***ing work. I'm still sat editing till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Don't let brands take the piss out of you. Yeah. Just do, if it feels natural for you and if it's a really good opportunity, it's something you really want to do, then do it.
Any red flags that you encountered along the way that you'd go back and erase?
There's been times where, listen, I've lost contracts. I've been paid $2,000 a month off one company and lost it just by being me. But if I look back, would I change that? No, would I f***? Because one door closes and another one opens.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there. Good morning. Welcome to a live episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we're talking So You Want to Be a Brand Ambassador. I'm here with Danny Robinson. Morning, Danny. How are you doing?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Very well. And Danny is here as brand ambassador. And then we also have Sam Johnson. Morning, Sam.
Hello, everyone.
And Sam is here really representing brand as a kind of PR company for brands. Please ask questions if you want. Give us a bit of noise and I'll come and talk to you. But Danny, I guess really the start would be is, for both of you, what does being a brand ambassador really mean now?
So I've had my barbershops for 12 years. And over the last 12 years, I've worked and have been associated with quite a few brands. The very first one years ago was one called Dear Barber. I worked with them, which was a hair product brand. And I was kind of so excited that like this brand had approached me and they like my work and what I did. And in the very early days, a lot's changed since, but you would work basically like for free. They would send you products. You know, you'd get like a gift pack, maybe 20 products, which you could then sell within your shop. So you're kind of making money to an extent in that way. And they would get you involved in photo shoots. They would get you involved in hair shows like this one.
Sure.
And, you know, a young barber, I think I was only 27 at the time. I was like, wow, this is so cool. And then fast forward 10 years on, and I look back at that, you know, being a brand ambassador, if I could talk to the old me and the person that I am now, I know so much more since then, like, about obviously payments and, you know, how to work and day rates. But at the time, I was just so excited to be collaborating with another brand.
And Sam, so from brand's point of view, what does the brand ambassador mean?
It is the same sort of thing that Danny said. It's just representing the brand. I work for brands that create products, and we just need people to talk about the products and like be the products. So it's for everything from stage shows, like photographic work, just talking about them, giving us quotes, working on like product development with us, everything.
Okay, I mean, this is going to be the interesting one because from both sides, I'm sure it's a question you guys want to know, I do. Paid versus unpaid. Should you do work unpaid, or when do you decide that actually I deserve paying for this?
I feel like when you first start out, everyone goes through this same journey where you start getting interest from brands, and you do things for free when you're first starting out because you're really excited about doing it. And then you get you get a bit more successful and you get to a certain point where you're like, actually, I want to be paid for that. And then I also notice when people, like more experienced people talking to less experienced people are saying, oh, you shouldn't do work for free. But then they only got to where they are now because they did the work for free. So I don't think there is a right and wrong answer. I think my advice to someone who is looking to do brand work with people is just don't let brands take the piss out of you. Yeah. Just do, if it feels natural for you and if it's a really good opportunity, it's something you really want to do, then do it. But don't, like I know people in the industry that have been given contracts that is not being paid, but then they have all these expectations. They're like, you need to post, like you need to make us 4 pieces of content a month. You need to do this. You need to do that. And some people do get like free products out of it, but is that enough?
Yeah. What but Danny, when, I mean, your old self versus your new self, when did you get offered payment first, or did you have a moment where you went, no, I'm going to send you a bill?
I think you have to prove your worth with any brand. You know, if all of a sudden a brand just approached you and then they was like, we're just going to pay you all this money, like, you're living in a dream world. That doesn't happen.
Sure.
It works both ways. You know, they would send you a pair of clippers. They would send you a hair product. They would send you a collection of cans if you worked for a beverage company, for example. And it's the test in the water. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to, how strong is your social media going to be? Are you going to get results? Is it going to be call to actions? You know, has clipper sales gone up? Has it not? What are your views like? What are your insights like on the back end of it? So it's kind of like works in both ways, really. They'll kind of see how that works for them.
Sure.
Because, you know, I've heard people being paid thousands and there's not really been a return. A hell of a lot of barbers want to work as brand ambassadors because they just want free Mizutani £1,000 scissors. They just want free, for example, you know, FX1 clippers. They just want free gowns or free pomades.
Sure.
And realistically, when you do become a brand ambassador, you have to, it's work. It's actual work. Like, I get paid by these really big companies, but I still have to fucking work. I'm still sat editing till 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm still having to travel where I have to travel and film. You know, there's sometimes I don't go to bed till 3 a.m. because I've filmed, and you don't want to miss the moment of all the footage that you got. You need to edit it when you get back. So even though, yeah, I am getting paid to be a brand ambassador, you're taking me out of my shop where I get paid a really nice amount of money from my clients. So it is work at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So when you get to that point where you are being paid and you're not doing it for free, sometimes the free stuff works a bit better because there's not that much pressure.
Sure.
So when you are getting paid, they expect results, serious results. And if you're not performing, you're gone, and then the next fresh-faced person will replace you.
Yeah. I mean, is that the big thing you think that brands are looking for, that they're looking for that kind of consistency, standout content, that something you're adding to their brand rather than the other way around?
The key word there was consistency, and I think that's what I definitely look for, because part of my job is to actually look for brand ambassadors to represent brands that I work with. But just going back to what you were saying before about free versus paid, and you said something about gift, like receiving free products. I think there's a very clear distinction between being an ambassador, brand ambassador, which to me is a paid position when you're part of a team that you're on a contract with someone, like you're being paid by them, you're part of their team, you're helping them develop their products, you're doing all this stuff. And then the other side of that is like gifting, or like gifting in exchange for something. So something what I do all the time, we'll gift products and people will make content for us because that's a valuable asset for us as a brand. But it's not like, we're not expecting you to work, like not full time, but we're not expecting you to work on a regular basis and you're not tied into anything with us. You can work for other people, you can do whatever you like, but if we send you something for free, then we kind of expect you to make something back for us.
And so how do you get noticed? How do I get you to notice me?
Do you want to go first? Well, I mean, look at him.
So, yeah, my whole persona is like a fucking cartoon. You know, I've fucking tattooed head to foot, braids, big silly chain, which is not mine, to steal this. But, yeah, so at the end of the day, it's about creating a certain image or a certain look to get you noticed. I'm stood here today looking like a fucking Grand Theft Auto character. But what that does is it kind of creates a persona. So this is not the real me. The real me, you know, I'm a family man. I've got kids. I've got multiple shops. I'm actually down to earth. I don't look like a twat all the time like this. But what it is it's just kind of creating a distinctive person that is go-to for brands. So, you know, if you're jumping on social media or you're doing content creation, a million barber videos get uploaded to Instagram every single day. So what is going to separate you from someone who can probably cut hair better than me, which there is a lot better barbers than me. You know, my very, very good friend Tariq Howells is probably the best barber in the UK. But Tariq has created his own persona. Tariq is Tariq. I am Danny. Josh LaMonica is Josh LaMonica. Alan Beak is Alan Beak. These are all individual people. And if you lined us all up, you would be able to tell who each person is just by the voice or just by the haircuts. So a lot of people replicate Menspire haircuts, for example. But the best people at doing Menspire haircuts are Menspire. So why not just be your own version and create your own persona and your own character to then have brands approach you? You know, I've been in negotiations with Monster Energy since November. And this look is what attracted Monster. You know, the high-octane UFC, Formula One, MotoGP. They know that if they put me at any of these events, I would be able to mix with all the athletes, the skateboarders, the snowboarders, the UFC fighters. They know that that is my brand persona. As where if you put someone who's in a tweed suit with a mustache with curls on it, that's not going to suit that persona. So as a brand ambassador, you need to find your own identity and know what type of brands you want to work for. You know, don't pimp yourself out to brands that don't match your identity. So I wouldn't work for someone like Captain Fossett, for example. I don't suit that brand persona at all. You know, I look like someone who would work with Monster Energy or work with Brosh in Tokyo. You know, they're very heavily tattooed. It suits that culture. You know, the same with a lot of the brands who you represent as a PR company. You kind of go into that knowing what you're looking for. Before I became a barber, I was a TV actor. I'm still on Netflix. I'm still on Amazon Prime. I was on Shameless. When the producer wants to pick someone to act in that role, they already know in their mind what they're looking for. It's the same with PR companies and becoming brand ambassadors. They have like a checklist of what they want. Cutting hair is just one aspect of it. You have to be able to fully hold yourself, talk on stage, present yourself, travel, work, edit, photography, videography. If you can do all that package, then that's what attracts this beautiful man that's next to me.
I do agree with what you said about your like vibe and your sort of personal brand needs to match the brands you're going after. But there's, yeah, the checklist. There's no real like checklist of an actual list of stuff that we look for. But it's everything. It's social audience. But that's not the be all and end all. People think it is. People think that just because they've got like, I don't know how many thousands of followers on Instagram that they're automatically getting brand work. They're not, because some people aren't very good at even presenting themselves. Consistency is a good one. Like people that have their own like not brand of content, but you know what I mean, own style of content that really works. Also profiles, a big one that I think people ignore. Like, are you being seen in Modern Barber magazine, for example, and the other trade magazines that are out there? Are you visible within the industry? Are you going to events? Do you know people? Are you followed by the right people? Because you could have 200,000 followers, but if none of them are barbers, then we're a professional brand. We want to push our products out there to other barbers. If you don't have that sort of following, then we're not really interested.
Sure.
But people do go the other way around and they say, oh, he's only got 1,000 followers, but they're the right followers. But that's bullshit as well, because you still need the numbers.
Yeah.
Because that's what are we doing?
Yeah. And I mean, if you get to a stage where you're being approached by companies and it's your first, second, early doors out, are there red flags that, you know, you would point out to kind of go,
yeah, not being paid? I've seen this happen a lot with brands just being like, yeah, they're just pushing out this huge contracts and they're like, oh, I want to do this for you. But people get so caught up into it because they're so excited about being recognized. And it's like, obviously a huge thing to, as a barber, to be recognized by a big brand. But then if they're not paying you, it's not that, like, yeah. How serious are they? But then there's the other way around as well. There's a barbers approaching brands, which I think probably happens more than brands approaching barbers, like as a representative, as a PR rep for a big brand. I get messages every day from barbers asking to work with us or asking for free stuff. And that's like, I think people, there's things people could learn there as well about how to actually approach people.
Right.
Because they're not doing it right a lot of the time.
Okay. Any red flags that you encountered along the way that you'd go back and erase?
Oh my God, my whole career has been controversial, literally. But again, that's when people think of Danny Robinson and Danny & Co, that comes with it. I've never tried to push the boy next door image. You know, most barbers are degenerate fuck-ups. They've not done very well in school. And it's something that has been an avenue to open their, in their own business, working with brands. And I think the older I've got, the wiser I've got. The old Danny 10 years ago probably wouldn't be sat here. You know, now I'm traveling the world. I've been to Southeast Asia 5 times since November. Work with some amazing, amazing companies. You know, Brosh, I've touched upon Monster. Been associated with some phenomenal companies. And yeah, there's been times where, listen, I've lost contracts. I was being paid $2,000 a month off one company and lost it. Yeah, and I lost it. I lost the contract just by being me. But if I look back, would I change that? No, what the fuck? Because one door closes and another one opens. So, you know, I am who I am. And the red flags is just, yes, there's a time and a place, definitely, for certain type of behavior. And that's what I've learned to grow and mature the older I've got. However, you've still got to keep real to yourself. At the end of the day, if I'm selling cans of drink, if I'm selling clippers, if I'm selling Brosh pomade products, I need to be able to resonate with you, 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 you. And if I look fake and you think, nah, he talks shit, him, I know what he's actually like. You know, he's working for this brand. He's not like that. That's what I touched upon before. Every product or company that I work for, it has to suit me. And the contract that I lost before, it maybe didn't tie in with the person that who I am. As where the other ones, which I've managed to keep, you know, when I left Tokyo last, they sent me the most loveliest message saying, Danny, you're an absolute psycho, but we love you. You're absolutely amazing. You know, I was walking around Tokyo at 6 o'clock in the morning after I'd left a bar. But that's their culture. They like stuff like that. So, you know, it's just like what I said before, understanding what brands you want to work with and just pushing yourself out there with what Sam said. You might not have amazing social media numbers, but as long as you identify the brands that you want to work for and tag them in it, the numbers grow. You know, I've seen barbers be on 2,000 followers. They'll do a pretty cool viral video. And then the next time you look, they're on 8. You know, a few months after that, they're on 20. So luckily with Instagram and TikTok these days, it's giving barbers the opportunity to be able to push themselves more and more. You know, when I started in this 17 years ago, yes, I am that old, it was all word of mouth. We didn't have social media. You had to come to these events to see your favorite barber, Josh LaMonica, to see your Alan Beeks, to see Tariq Howes, and to stand and watch them. Now, they all do online education, or you can just watch their social media and see how they cut hair.
So looking at brand ambassador for an older barber, someone who's been there, it seems to our friend here that everyone's very young and you're looking for that youth rather than that experience or older barber.
I would give the same advice that I'd give to anybody. I think we all brands are trying to be as diverse as possible, and that doesn't mean just working with textured hair or I don't know, diversity for us is all different parts of it. People are old, like the people that we work with for the brands that I work with are all ages. We don't just look for younger people. It's all down to what you're doing and who you are.
I mean, I guess as Dan is saying, if you've got a brand that associates with a brand, that's where you need to focus on. Have we got any other questions for these lovely chaps?
What Danny said earlier about like matching yourself to a brand, I think is really important as well, because people People get it into their heads that they want to work for a brand or they want to be an ambassador, but they don't really know what that means, or they don't. I'm like, well, but why? Like, if you can't answer why you want to be a brand ambassador, then you should. I don't know if you should be even doing it. And I think people need to, yeah, like what Danny said, identify these brands that they want to work with because they like their vision or their like vibes or they love the products, and then just really focus on like one person. Like I get blanket emails all the time. My email address is literally sam@sam. Whatever, like my name is in my email and I get emails just saying hi or like to whom it may concern. I'm like, my fucking name is in the thing. What is wrong with you? Like, how hard is it to email me using my actual name? Like, that you're not getting anywhere, and I just delete straight away. Straight away. Like, don't even read it. If you can't use my name in an email, but that's like, you need to, rather than going, oh, what is every single professional barbering brand I could possibly work with? Just pick the ones that you want to work with and follow them, engage with them, use their stuff, tag them in your content, try and find out people that work there, approach them at events like this, like get to know them. I actually treat them like human beings instead of just like, yeah, like what I get, just like, hey, can I have some free stuff? Or sometimes people will email me, tell me how much they love the brands that I work with, and they don't even tell me what they want. Yeah. They'll be like, oh, hey, I'm like, just be clear, be like forward, and yeah, that's a much better approach than just like...
And can you work with more than one brand, or do you have to be careful if you're going to a clipper brand? Do you have to watch and choose wisely, or yeah, can you jump across?
If you're an actual brand ambassador in a paid position, you will have a contract that states very, very clearly who you can and can't work for. Like I write contracts for ambassadors, and we do all of that sort of stuff. But if you're just, hi, everybody look at Jane really quick, embarrass her.
Hi Jane, you got a question for us?
But if it's just like what I was saying before about doing content creation in exchange for gifting, like that's something we wouldn't expect someone to just be exclusively to our brand.
Whether you got approached by a clipper company that actually maybe you're not a big fan of, would that outlaw you from working with a different clipper company later on?
We have people that work with, so I work for Babolus Pro, electrical brand, but we have ambassadors who have contracts in place. They can't work for, I mean, the barbering side, they can't work for Andes, they can't work for Warb. On the styling side, they can't work for GHD, Dyson, Cloud9, all those. But say we have an ambassador on the styling side, Sid Hayes is a session stylist, but he has a contract with L'Oreal just on using their wet products. So you can have multiple contracts as long as they don't conflict. And if you're really clever, so I used to work for an agency called Kit Studios, and they're very good at doing contracts. And they even would specify like color contracts for some people, for their hairdressers. So they'd have one for like a certain type of color. They'd have an exclusive contract, and then they'd work for a different brand for a different type of color. And that's like, you're shit hot if you're doing that, because that means you're really in demand.
I'm not even going to ask you, mate. You've had so many brands running you through. You show that if you're doing it well, you can do it well.
Yeah, I agree with what Sam said. You wouldn't ever cross over with certain brands. So, you know, I'm associated with one, Brosh, which is wet hair care product. I am a ambassador for another brand called Unthin, which is like a hair topical spray that you put on, which helps with receding hairlines and bald patches. Absolutely phenomenal. I was going bald before I started using it. And then there is Monster that I'm associated with. But then it's that old chestnut of, are you then going to water yourself down? If you're like a piece of a pie and you cut the pie into sections, you know, each person gets a segment, you're going to completely overkill yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when they're going to say, well, we need this and we need that. You're going to get events that might cross over where we need you at CT Barber Expo. I was supposed to do that. I'm not. I'm here. So, you know, you're supposed to be in Connecticut, but then I'm in Birmingham. And then I just got back from Tokyo. So you have to be very careful. If you're a family man and you've got kids, I've got staff, I've got multiple businesses, got a beautiful girlfriend. Everyone wants, you know, I need to see my kids.
Yeah.
I need to see Robin. I need to make sure that work's running well, that they're not stealing out of the till or they're turning up on time or difficult. And that is something that you can't go into working as an ambassador role. Hello, Phil. How are you? That's a beautiful beard, sir. It's gorgeous. Bruce Willis is here today. He's made an appearance. He's going to be giving... So same thing. Do you own a business? So what benefits are you going to get out of working for this company? Is it just for free clippers? Because I could fucking tell you what, just buy them. Just buy them because they're going to want something for that. You know, an ambassador role is not, you can just sit on your ass at home, we're going to send you free clippers and we're going to pay you. That doesn't exist. You know, it's working for them as well as them working for you. It's a two-way thing. And this is what I get all the time. Oh my God, I'd love to know how to film content. I'd love to do what you do, traveling here, there and everywhere. I sometimes sit in hotel rooms thinking, I'd just rather be at home with my kids. I'd rather be in work. I'd rather be with Robin. He sat on a plane for 2 fucking days. It's long, but don't get me wrong. I wouldn't change it. I'm not here saying that it's a bad thing because it's definitely fucking not.
But I mean, you say it's taking a lot. It's a huge part of your working week on top of everything else. And I think
I'm 25, look at how old I look.
If you're going to...
Well, 55.
If you're going to commit to it, it is, like you say, commitment.
Yeah, it's a real job. Yeah,
and it's
sure.
a real job.
I think you have to think about, this is a question I always ask people, just why do you want it? Yeah. Do you want it just because you want some free stuff? Because if you do, just buy, it's probably easier to just buy it. Mm. But if you want to like develop a relationship with a brand and you want to, you're interested in, I don't know, product development or something like that, or if you just want the recognition, like, do you want to be a barber or do you want to be an influencer? Or do you want to be, like, I think that it's, the influencer thing comes into it so much because I go I have to review a lot of social stuff and people tag brands that I work with in their stuff all the time, and it's really clear from some people that they're just really trying to be influencers, and I'm like, what? But is it to earn money? Like, what is it? To get recognition? Yeah. Is it to get more customers? Is it to get more clients through the doors? To get your shop to be more renowned? Like, what is it for? So I think people sort of go ahead on this journey. They'll just like knee jerk, they'll just go off and do it, start making content without really thinking about like what the end goal is.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Maybe the answer to, so you want to be a brand ambassador is
why. Yeah.
So just to kind of run through, why today, what would be the, if I decided from next week I wanted to be a brand ambassador, what would be the first step that I need to start looking at day one to start making that journey?
Well, Sam just touched upon something that was very clever. You know, do you want to be a brand ambassador? Do you want to be an influencer? Do you want to just get free shit? You know, go, like, sit down, you know, whether it's a notes on your phone, whether it's a pad, and just make a list of something that you want to do, someone that inspires you. From there, look what they're doing that's different than anyone else. And then, to an extent, maybe not even replicate what they're doing. Just look at their videos or look at their content and look what works. Then what works in that, make a brief of that, put that in ChatGPT, and then try and create your own content around what they're doing. So, for example, if you was to see a video that worked really well, what Tariq's done and he's gone somewhere and it's a phenomenal haircut, instead of actually blueprinting that, just then kind of create your own identity within creating content. Could be something that's so aesthetically simple as the way that your shop looks or a certain background where you're actually cutting hair for your videos. You know, there's a guy called Marty Blends in America. He's getting millions of views and his backdrop is just like on a pink wall. And that's what's making him different and making him stand out is just the scenario of where he's cutting hair. It's aesthetically pleasing and it catches your eye. So it's just kind of creating goals and a structure of the brands you want to work for. It's like what I said before, there's certain brands that I wouldn't align myself with in a million years. They don't suit me and I don't suit them. So it's just kind of, it has to be a passion. You know, it can't be fake, what I touched upon before. There's certain clipper companies or there's certain hair care product companies or dryer companies. Like GHD, for example, I wouldn't align myself with them because I don't straighten hair. I don't really... It wouldn't be something that I would use a lot of their products. The only thing I would probably use is a hairdryer from them. So it's just knowing the right brand which fits what you do. You might cut a certain clientele. You know, the guy's gone now, but there was an older gentleman there. Certain clipper companies, you know, do have older guys on. You know, Joff is probably, you know, 50s, 60s. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he's associated with another well-known clipper company, and he's older, because there is older barbers. So within being someone in Sam's role, they have to look of, you know, not just selling to young people. It's the whole wider audience.
Yeah. No, good shout.
Yeah, my advice would be to really, well, first off, just ask yourself why you want this, because then that will help you in your sort of approach and what your next steps are going to be. You really need to identify the brands that you want to work with rather than just like blanket messaging everybody. Try and make connections with those. But yeah, what Danny said, like, consistency is what we really look for. Like, something as simple as filming yourself every video that you make in front of a pink backdrop, honestly, it really stands out and people notice that sort of thing. And then when you do approach people, just make it right. Don't email some. Don't send someone a ChatGPT email. Actually, ChatGPT is fine. Like, I use it all the time in work. But the problem I have with ChatGPT when people email me asking for free products or whatever, you can tell straight the word right. If you ever get anything in ChatGPT and it has the word foster in, delete that word, because foster is an instant giveaway that you've used ChatGPT. That's a little bit of advice for you. But if you do use it, which is fine, because I use it in my job all the time. Charlotte's nodded; she uses it. use it to prompt. Use it to help you. It's not supposed to write the emails for you, because that's just lazy and people notice. Like, I can tell straight away if someone's emailed me from something like that, and that it's another turn off. It's another like, hi, blank space. It's just like, you haven't put any effort into this. You've just whacked in ChatGPT saying, I want some free stuff. Write me an email that will make them give it to me. And then they send it to every single brand. And I'm like, what now?
Yeah.
So yeah, delete. But if you actually crafted something that was like meaningful and you told us why you like the brand, or you told us like a bit about yourself and what you do, and that's going to get you a reply.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's it. You've got to be committed. You've got to find your brand, and you've got to put the work in.
Yeah.
It's a simple case of just thinking outside the box, right? So, you know, don't even go for like the massive big brands. You know, I'm so lucky now to be associated with like Monster Energy, Brosh. I do all this amazing work, but there's like a hair topic. It's like hair fibers topic, it's called. You know, approach these type of companies, ones who are looking for, you know, barbers, urban barbers, you know, just don't go straight in for the massive big brands. Look at up and coming brands, align yourself with those, because they might be the ones that completely blow up pretty soon. And, you know, you're just going to get experience with working with these type of people. They're going to, like what I said originally, it might be free at first. You might get a few products over time when you have the, you know, experience, the numbers, you know, if you're posting videos, getting millions of views, that's when you can start asking for money. You know, I am very, very, very lucky now where if I stopped barbering today, my retainer money covers probably more than I get in the shop. So it's just, it helps me so much, because it takes the pressure off running a business. You know, I can go and work and cut two people's hair all day if I wanted to. I don't. I'm like back to back a lot of the time. I'm my own worst enemy, burning the candle at both ends. But it does just take the pressure of a lot of things. You know, you're not then having to constantly promote yourself to get clients behind the chair, because when you're working with brands and you're traveling and stuff like that, the social media aspect of it brings the clients in. You know, my clients absolutely love that I'm going traveling here, there and everywhere. And they're always asking me questions about it. So it is just aligning yourself. And if you're new to it, with the smaller brands, you know, you can't just expect to start barbering in within 6 months. You're going to be working for some of these well-known massive brands here. It's little steps. You know, Dear Barber, when I started working with them, there was just a little tiny unknown brand. And now I'm working for one of Asia's biggest pomade companies, which is mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing, all of it.
I guess that's it. If you're up and coming, you're looking for brands that are the same as you.
Yeah, I agree. Baby steps as well. The people that we have, actually probably every single person that's on a retainer at Babyliss is someone that wasn't just offered a contract off the back of an email. Like, they're people that worked for the brand in different ways until then. And it's like a slow, some of them took years to get onto an actual paid, like, paid monthly retainer contract. And now they're like part of the family. We always call ourselves a little family because they are. And they all love working with each other. But it literally, yeah, will take like, maybe they did a bit of, like, we gifted them something and then they made some content. Maybe we asked them to appear at Barber Connect on our stage and we paid them for that. Like, it doesn't mean they're a brand ambassador. They just did a bit of work for us. Yeah. But it's those like slow, those small opportunities will eventually grow into something bigger. And I think if you want to work for a big brand like that, you have to have like the long-term goal in your head because it ain't going to happen straight away.
No, excellent. Guys, thank you. I think we've covered it well. It was... There wasn't a great deal of questions coming from out there, so I hope we asked the right ones. Danny, thank you very much for your time. Sam, appreciated
thank
it.
Thank you.
I think we've covered it all. You can hear that. If you want to find a brand to work for, choose your brand first. Look who you want to be part of and try and join that family. Thank you very much for the time. We've been the Noble Barber Podcast. Thank you very much for joining in. Please check our QR code and get on our sign-up list. We have a new app about to launch. It'd be lovely if you all join in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. And if you want to speak to Sam, he's going to be on the Babbelist Pro stage and I'm going to be on the Brosh stand over there. I'll answer all your questions and I'm renting the chain out for £10 for 5 minutes.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and we'll see you next time.